Membrane request to speak, and I just approved, so you should be able to unmute yourself momentarily.
Hello.
I can see
hello.
Membrane. Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you well.
Super. I hear you as well.
Perfect.
Awesome. Welcome to the club, man.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly. So where are you calling in from today?
I'm calling in from the East Coast, United States.
Yeah. I'm sitting here in the cold, dark Copenhagen right now with a sore throat. So if my voice is a little bit deep, that's because I'm a little bit under the weather. But we should be able to pull through.
Yeah, hope you get better soon. I've been having some congestion as well. And the weather's getting worse.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. So, I'll let the people obviously settle in. But the way we do these spaces is that we record them so people can re-listen afterwards, and we put them on typically, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, etc. So, anyone who's not able to go to listen in live, they will be able to re-listen there. If you have any questions, or if you don't have any questions, then we'll just dive right in.
Yeah, no questions for me.
Awesome, man. So yeah, welcome everyone to the Cosmos and Coin Club tonight, where we talk all things Cosmos. We invite interesting, fascinating, hardworking builders of the Cosmos ecosystem to spaces like these. And today, for the first time, we have a Membrane on the club. So welcome to the club, man.
Thanks for having me.
So we'd like to do a little bit of a personal touch before we talk about what you guys are building over there at Membrane. People in crypto and in Cosmos, for sure, they come from all walks of life. So what's your story? How did you end up working for and building Membrane?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start a little before crypto. So before crypto, COVID happened and I dropped out of college to start focusing on something entrepreneurial related. I dabbled a little bit of trading, didn't really like it that much. And then I got into DeFi through Terra in like early 2021. So Terra is how I got into Cosmos. I was doing a bunch of crypto related research beforehand, and I found Adam, Terra and Cosmos. So I basically all my crypto life was in Terra until it exploded. But I was very on board with the vision of needing a decentralized stablecoin. So after Terra exploded, I felt like there was a large space open for a better, more robust stablecoin to be made. So me and my co-founder basically decided to focus on that instead. We had some other ideas around lending markets and stuff, but we started focusing on the stablecoin right after that. Started coding like the day after, and just been working since then.
Beautiful, and God bless you're still standing after the Terra collapse, if that's the only run that you've experienced. You've been almost in a depressive state since you entered crypto.
Yeah, basically.
But yeah, things are looking up these days. We can get into that more later in the space. But talk to us about Membrane. What is Membrane, and why should people pay attention here?
Yeah. So I guess membrane staking is making its take on the stablecoin trilemma. And it's using, I guess, the more resilient combination of traits. We saw with Terra that the capital efficiency decentralization combo didn't work too well. Because I guess prioritizing capital efficiency means you're adding a little more risk, since you can't really force capital efficiency. My belief is that if we save capital efficiency for later, crypto is definitely going to grow in market cap, and all the assets are going to, or the large assets are going to only get stronger, get deeper liquidity and more mature markets, and we'll get our capital efficiency that way. So membrane's design is focused on decentralization and stability, and it aims to scale with the market. But we've seen with other stables that depends on if you know stables, but like LUSD or Rai, they only use Ethereum as collateral, and it's harder to scale when you're only using crypto collateral. That's why DAI from Maker uses USDC for the most part to scale, and that's why they're the biggest stablecoin. But the problem with that is using USD or USDC to scale in that manner with one-to-one swaps also means you're at risk, or like your risk levels are at best equal to USDC. So as we saw with the USDC DPEG from the banking insolvencies, all the protocols that used USDC and the PSM or like basically enabled one-to-one swaps followed USDC's price all the way down to 89 cents. So that's not really great for something that's supposed to be a decentralized stable, and that's supposed to be stable. For anybody that used it as collateral, they probably got liquidated unless they moved quickly. So membrane sits at an angle where we want to stay decentralized and stable, but we know that it's hard to scale only using crypto collateral. So we do allow fiat-backed collateral, but in a way that's liquidatable if price goes down. So it's basically in the same bucket as Ether, BTC, or Atom when you collateralize it. But I guess I need to actually go back just to how you actually use membrane before I go into collateralization. Membrane is creating a stable called CDT, and it's created by loans. Think of like using your car or your house as collateral for a loan. CDT is the token that represents the debt that you're taking from that loan. Our product, is the mechanism to create the loan, and then the stablecoin itself. I could divulge into some other stuff relating to the fiat backed, but we could also say that for later.
Yeah, that's we can unpack that in a minute. But I think what you said about DAI and other quote unquote decentralized stablecoins is spot on. Like, I never understood the model for DAI, or how it ended up, at least, because I understand the model, of course, but I never understood how it ended up being just a wrapper, essentially.
Basically, yeah.
It seems pointless, right? I mean, you said you have a mission for creating a decentralized stablecoin, and then all it does in the end is become a wrapper, really. Like, people deposit their USDC and then issue DAI. Doesn't seem like there's a big point there, which is sad, because as I was saying in the beginning, I'm sitting here in cold Copenhagen, and Maker is actually the issuer of DAI. they're actually from Copenhagen, so this is sort of our claim to fame. Yeah. But I don't think it's a good claim to fame right now, at least. But yeah, talk to us about the fiat-backed loans and perhaps also a little bit about the space that you guys operate in, because you're obviously not the first decentralized stablecoin. If we just take Cosmos, of course, there's Kujira's USK, which is Kuji and Kujira is pretty hot these days, so hard to come by or get around these days. There's IST, there's a bunch of different stablecoins in just Cosmos, way more in the rest of crypto. So perhaps also talk to us about how Mainbrain is different from this.
Yeah, so the differences, the main differences stem from the use of fiat-backed collateral. So you basically have three choices. You either use it as a PSM. That's what IST does, similar to DAI. I think CMST does as well. I said three and I only said MSO word, but you either use it as a PSM, so one-to-one trades. You don't use it at all. That's what USK does. Or you find a way to use it so that it can be liquidatable. And that's what Membrane does. I'm not sure. I haven't seen anybody else that has tried to do the same in the CDP loan style minting mechanism. So I'm not sure if we have any other examples or market history for something for a stable that has liquidatable fiat. But basically, I mean, it's actually pretty simple. It's like, let's say if you collateralize Atom and the price goes down, it's supposed to get liquidated, right? So if you collateralize USDC and the price goes down, it's supposed to get liquidated. So, I mean, yeah, it's pretty basic. But like other differences, I think the difference, even though basic, it'll stand out as the market or crypto as the space evolves, because like for one, like the PSM with DAI, it's great to scale. And like for IST, it's great to scale, but I guess stablecoins are very emotional. It's supposed to be stable. People get into them thinking it's going to be stable. So there's only so many times where the market crashes and your stablecoin crashes with it that people will continue trusting it. So my hypothesis is that CDT, like it'll grow like a normal stable, but it'll start actually like showing and shining as we get more complications, just like in the economy and with USDC or USDC or any of the fiat backed stables. Because the problem with the I can also go into how like CDT is a soft peg versus a hard peg, but I'll get to that. But the problem with using the fiat backed collateral as like a one-to-one mint is that you lose the flexibility for like any future peg changes or any any pivots for your protocol. So like you'll see that's also why DAI is doing this crazy end game goal, because they really don't have any small options or like low hanging fruit options to change the protocol, because it's really just USDC, a USDC wrapper. So Membrane is really focused on like allowing for flexibility and adaptability, because they're like, we really don't, nobody really knows what the future is going to look like. So if you don't have the ability to adapt, we're basically, I mean, you're building short term and you're not going to actually build that network effect or the Lindy that's necessary. And if you do, you don't want to end up like a terror situation where you're just trying to be too big to fail. And then you end up just getting, losing a lot of people money. But the flexibility aspect is why we use a soft peg, because you can't use a hard peg. So like the peg isn't stuck at a dollar. You can't use a hard peg and not use a PSM more or less. Like the hard peg model converges to a PSM, or kind of like what Frax is doing. They're trying to do, like, they're trying to get a treasury master account. So you just end up getting closer and closer to whoever is minting the denomination for your stable, which is just less and less decentralized. I mean, even, yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like you could try to explain around it, but there's no way to be connected to one currency and also be decentralized.
Yeah, that makes sense. Perhaps talk to us a bit about the user journey, if you will, on minting and burning, for that matter, CDT. So I think most people have tried or at least heard of minting a stablecoin. Mm-hmm. I'll just take Kujira as an example, because a lot of people are talking about Kujira these days. They have, you know, a broad sort of many different tokens you can deposit. Uni, ING, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Arbitrum, even, like, all these different tokens you can use as collateral, deposit it, and then mint USK. And then vice versa, of course, when you repay the USK or burn it, then you get your collateral back. They don't have fiat, so I guess the question is twofold. Is it a similar mechanism where you have multiple different assets you can use as collateral to mint CDT with Membrane? And two, how does the fiat work then? Do you deposit it to a bank and then you register it somewhere and then you can issue CDT? So talk us through the user journey, perhaps.
Yeah, so the user journey is basically the same as USK or other CDP stables. The only difference is with our multiple collateral types, you can put them all in the same position. So as far as I know, all the collateral types on USK or any other stablecoin, you're only allowed to open your position with a single collateral. So if you have Atom, ETH, and BTC, you need three different positions with three different LTVs, and like you're minting debt three different times. This makes it harder to manage, and it also makes your position more volatile, or I guess as volatile as your collateral. But for example, if you had BTC and Osmo, if Osmo goes down, you would want your BTC to prop your position up so that you don't have to get your Osmo liquidated. But if you can't collateralize both assets in the same position, then it doesn't matter what's in your portfolio. It just, you'll get liquidated based off the specific asset. So with Membrane, we have bundles where you can add as many of our available collateral assets in a single bundle and mint one time and have one position to manage. So it should be easier, but it also gives you some more certainty, not certainty, but some volatility diversity within your position, which becomes a lot more useful when you're collateralizing something that's lower volatility or something like a stable, which is, or like a fiat backed stable, which is supposed to be stable. So you can get a position that's a lot more stable overall while still using volatile assets in it. To answer the second question, I guess Membrane is a collateral market. So we benefit from demand for collateral assets. And so USDC and USDT are methods of using fiat to create a crypto token. And we want to be the second layer from that. We don't want to be the ones creating the collateral assets, because that adds more risk and it also reduces the competition for the collateral assets. So we'd rather use like the best fiat token or the best L1 token, whatever's going to be the greatest collateral, whether it's volatility or yield bearing. We want to be able to use those instead of trying to be the ones that are minting them ourselves. So instead of actually dealing with the fiat and all the regulations that comes with that, We'll let other people create those tokens and then just use them once they garner enough liquidity to be stable.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's I think, a tried and true method that others have also used, and it seems to work, really. So why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
Talk to us about the governance token, the MBRN, I believe, the MBRN token that you guys are using. Obviously, if we just take the example of Maker, they have the Maker token, MKR token. Kujira, we mentioned, also has the Kuji token. You can't mint USK, of course, with the Kuji, but still, there's a token.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk to us about the token and why people should pay attention here.
The token, I guess utility-wise, is pretty basic. It's used for governance, but then it also receives protocol revenue and protocol discounts. But I guess the more important part of it is that the governance is meant to be community-based and decentralized. So I said I had a co-founder earlier, but our co-founder, disappeared before we launched. So it's just me right now. So even with two people, it wouldn't make sense, or it's hard for a community to be engaged if two people or one person has the power to shift governance votes or protocol direction, like directly through governance. So it's built to give any community contributors or anybody with tokens a voice to actually participate in the protocol. So we have, or I guess the main point, or the main restriction is the vesting tokens have voting power, but it's capped at 19%. So I'll never be able to vote more than 19% of the power of a proposal. So it means we need community involvement to actually get things passed. This adds friction, of course, but Membrane was launched in a way that we can stall if there's friction. It's like there's incentives already running on our CDT Osmo pool. And there's basic collateral types already added. We have Atom, Osmo, and USDC, or Axel USDC. So once governance opens and we get proposals moving, if there's some friction, we still have time to the protocol will still operate well. And then on top of that, there's been a lot of chatter about getting governance-based or governance-specific delegations. So we have obviously Memory is not an L1, so we don't have validators to vote for us. So we have governance-based delegations for voting power. And then we also have delegations simply for commission. So obviously, if you delegate voting power, it's going to come with commission. But you can also just delegate your commission if you want to support somebody in the community. And in my head, this would be like if somebody in the community is providing some kind of service, maybe they have a really nice UI that you want to support, you know, something from that angle. Since the token gets all the revenue, I guess everybody is fairly aligned to see the protocol succeed, and there isn't going to be large minting. There's not going to be large minting that the token holders don't vote on, and since there's not like a central power in the token voting, whatever minting does happen should be aligned with the community. We also have capped staking rewards. So, or not, it's not capped. It's like restricted in the way that you have to set a schedule for the rewards. So we won't just have inflation that doesn't turn off just because people won't vote against it. We'll have currently, I think there's 9% staking reward inflation for the first 8 months. So after that 8 months, we'll either need a new proposal or you just, there's no more membrane staking rewards. It'll just be from revenue. So the good part about that is that, like, these steps as the protocol grows requires more of the community to get involved at each step. So it's friction and obstacles that will come on top of to be stronger. And yeah, I'm personally excited to see how the community rallies around making decisions and how that starts as governance opens.
Beautiful. And it definitely seems like you guys have been thinking this through. It's not something you just pulled out of your behinds overnight. And you can also see that, by the way, for anyone who hasn't checked out your website and your documentation, there's a lot of information there, which is very reassuring. And speaking of reassuring, you mentioned in the beginning that you started your crypto journey with Terra, predominantly, at least in Cosmos. So I guess that begs the question, how do you avoid a repeat of the Terra collapse with, in this case, Membrane, the CDT, and the MBRN token, mm-hmm. Instead of Luna and UST?
Yeah, so, the main barrier is not using Membrane to mint CDT. Currently, I'm not sure about, so I'm just going to say the one I'm sure about. But currently, if you try to add Membrane as a collateral type, it'll error, so you can't do it. Which means you'd need like 2 weeks with the current governance setup. You'd need like 2 weeks, probably like 2.5 weeks to even get Membrane added as a collateral type, because you need to upgrade the contract and whatever. Which hopefully the broader community would rally against and slow down or stop. But I mean, like, that's one of the points, or one of the, I guess, dangers of having any kind of governance, even though I think governance is necessary. But having any kind of governance means, like, basically any changes can happen, even if they're currently restricted from happening. So it's good. That's why, like, you need to have alignment we have it through revenue, and also Membrane token will inflate to buy back insolvent CDT positions. But obviously this shouldn't be something that happens a lot because of our liquidation system. But yeah, so other than that, you don't want to mint CDT, you don't want to mint stables that are unbacked, and you don't want to mint stables using other stables or using other decentralized stables. For the most part, I mean, there's ways to do it that, like, seem safe, but there's always edge cases where something might go wrong, and then now you're like 20% insolvent, and it's hard to come back from that.
The death spiral is tough on you on that one. Once it starts, it's very hard to get out,
because all the capital runs away.
It's the modern day bank run.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
But that's also no, you can go ahead.
No,
I'm just gonna say that's also a good reason, or a good reason to be, like, connected to IBC. Because one of Terra's biggest problems was having all its liquidity on Ethereum. Like, most of its incentivized stable liquidity on Ethereum. So, like, it was great for demand, and it was great to, I guess, to get, like, more mature market makers. But in an emergency scenario, all the people that are holding the assets, or all the people that, like, are holding the stable on a separate chain aren't going to bridge, especially when bridges get clogged. Most of them didn't bridge. They all just went to Binance and sold, which made the peg worse, even though on the main chain the peg was fine for a little while. You basically just want to avoid fear as much as possible, which is why you need the foundation of the protocol to be strong, and not just strong in good times.
Yeah, but I think also the lesson, we learned the lesson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't allow a mint based on your own token purely, and don't just let there be no caps on how much you can mint and how much you can burn. Like all these different things, make sure to add multiple different tokens. Preferably you start by having multiple different tokens that are not your own to remove attack vectors. So add, you know, highly liquid tokens already being traded out there, Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever. And then maybe at some point down the line, you can add your own governance token to the mix. But then start with caps, right? Start with a mint and burn cap, something to limit the attack vector that you can have on your protocol. So yeah, there's a lot of lessons there. So it's I think, again, reassuring that this is someone that has gone through the very, very tragic experience, stressful experience from the Terra Luna collapse. And I can just imagine how much you want to avoid that for your own protocol. Talk to us about where you are right now and perhaps the roadmap, the short-term roadmap from here. Like, you know, what can people do today? What can people do in the foreseeable future? Uh-huh. Yeah, talk to us about all that.
Yeah, so we've been launched for a little, almost a month. I think it's a month tomorrow. And right now you can mint CDT using Atom, Osmo, actually USDC, and any kind of combination. And then we have the CDT Osmo LP with incentives. So that's probably the main attractor right now. And then going ahead, we'll have once governance opens up, it has a minimum stake requirement to avoid governance exploits. So once that opens up, we'll be upgrading a couple contracts and proposals will start going through. So you might have some other incentives up. Some people have been talking about incentivizing stable swap pools, stuff like that. But mostly the future will also, we'll be adding like other collateral types. So we'll have LPs, other stable coins. I guess the collateral type that I know a lot of people are looking forward to are stable swap LPs. So yeah, those would be interesting. But most of the roadmap is going to be community focused. I guess like building the general knowledge in the community and of like, I guess what they can do and what the protocol can do. Since we'll all be like stewarding and steering the ship together. Because most of the, I guess, the mechanism foundation for the protocol itself and the stablecoin is fairly set. After we have some contract upgrades, I'm probably going to focus on some more like different vaults, talk to some vault protocols, because most of the mechanism foundation is set, so vault protocols can build on top of it to optimize the UX, but it's not really attractive to them until TBL comes. So we're working on like adding new collateral types, having some more degen plays with yield bearing collateral, stuff like that. Stuff people can loop. Everybody loves looping, even though it's risky. And then of course, we'll still be iterating on the front end, and hopefully we'll get like a protocol dashboard out, because it's currently hard to see the progress of the protocol. It's always great to have visualizers.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just lost what I was going to say, but you just mentioned something that I thought was interesting. Talk to us about the partnership with Osmosis. So you mentioned also on your Twitter that this is being built in collaborations with Osmosis, I think. So talk to us about that partnership.
Yeah, so Osmosis, they're the ones that gave us the grant for the audit. And then, like, generally, the protocol is pretty aligned because we're built on Osmosis. And we have protocol and liquidity for membrane in Osmosis or in membrane Osmo LP. And then, like, kind of indirect partnership is Osmosis may use our code or like the basis of our code to build a Bitcoin backed stablecoin, like Bitcoin only, with all the Bitcoin tokens that are coming to the chain, like NBTC, WrapBTC, and probably the bridge one from ETH. Nothing direct other than that.
And now I remember what I was going to say. If you ever wanted to get in touch with any of the Vault protocols like Casar and many others, just say the word. We've spoken to, I think, all of them here at the club. So happy to put you in touch.
Thank you.
Especially Casar, I think, is killing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, maybe you already have contacts with them through the Osmosis team. I know they are close and working together on many things. But that's awesome. So what I like to do with these spaces sometimes also is to allow ourselves to dream a little bit, go a bit beyond, you know, what are we going to deliver the next month or the next quarter or the next half a year. Yeah. But then sort of look at what we are building towards. What's the end game, if you will? So how do you think membrane will look like, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, long term at least?
Yeah. So the end game obviously depends on what the world looks like. But I guess like the base level end game, CBT will be probably the largest actually decentralized stablecoin. And then with its dynamic interest rates, the vaults that are using CDT or minting CDT to market make or yield farm through interest rate arbitrage will keep the token stable towards the peg, because as the token or as the peg gets farther, as the market price gets farther from the peg, the interest rates will change, and the more capital there is in the system, the more reactive that capital will be to the smaller interest rates. They're not going to be huge, but like if you have $1 billion in a vault, a 1% interest is a lot of money compared to like $100. So you're going to be more reactive, and the stability of the token will matter a lot more. Also, membrane has there's a lot of, like, I guess you could say, value leakage. The only value that membrane, the token, or I guess the protocol captures, is from interest rates, and there's a liquidation fee. But there's I guess there's like faucets that other protocols, other entities can latch onto to build businesses for themselves. So the idea is that membrane as a foundation will also enable other entities and businesses that will then give back to the network. For example, what I'm most excited for the vaults is vaults that use our liquidation pools. So similar to USK's Orca. So like if there's liquidations happening, you could deposit in the pools, get some extra yield, get some extra capital, while also keeping I guess CDT solvent. So it's yield for the vaults, but it's also resilience and safety for membrane. So it's a nice win-win situation. And then we also have like also the delegators. So like as all the token holders are distributed revenue, there's gonna be like, depending on how much, like let's say you own 1% of the supply, you're gonna want the protocol to, I guess, grow and establish itself and maintain itself through cycles. So it would make sense for you to spend some of your protocol revenue on things that help the protocol, which is made easy to do by delegating commission from your staking rewards. So I foresee some avenues and some paths of staking rewards that go to different entities or individuals that are benefiting the protocol. So that could also end up being a business case for somebody. Depends on, I mean, we have validators that have, like, I guess you get like the top validator that's getting some amount of commission, pretend they're not validating, all that capital could then go to something else that's protocol related. And a bunch of other validators right now also do other stuff like spaces or code review or some run front ends. So stuff in that nature. But when I was saying, depending on what the world looks like, I actually think the end game for stables in general could be to peg to BTC and end up being like BTC supply elasticity. Because some people say that, you know, we might see Bitcoin forks where there's inflation because, you know, there's a security issue. There's like money needs to be elastic, blah, blah, blah. Like you can't have a hard supply, price goes up, blah, blah, blah. So if that's actually an issue, then stablecoins are perfect for it because you basically are just making more of the token using other tokens. So that could be a great long-term, a great long-term solution, a great long-term market for stablecoins. Because if people aren't using fiat in the digital crypto world, or maybe the fiat coins are like heavily regulated or something, yeah, like they'll need to pivot somewhere. And BTC is the one that makes the most sense, which is also why I think if you can't pivot, your stablecoin is going to end up dying at some point. So you kind of need a stablecoin that can pivot.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Well said. All right. I mean, this has been great. I think there was a lot of information there, a lot of knowledge also about stablecoins in the mix. We got through a lot of them over this space, everything from MakerSDAI to Contura's USK to Terra's UST, of course, and then, of course, Membrane's CDT now. Is there anything we left out? Is there any stones that we left unturned before we close this thing off?
Well, one thing is I think Cosmos will see a lot more, like, I guess, next generation stables. Because as of right now, Cosmos is the only ecosystem that can liquidate like USDC after getting blacklisted. So like in Ethereum, if you get blacklisted, your address can't move the tokens because they blacklist addresses specifically. But like in Cosmos, we have Noble, and Noble can only blacklist IBC channels. So they have to blacklist entire chains. So not only does that increase the threshold for what is blacklistable, like assuming it goes through a core or some house, you can't just blacklist. I mean, I don't know if they'll blacklist entire chains for a single address. They might, you know. But if something gets blacklisted, since the entire chain is blacklisted, that chain can still operate with those stables. So let's say Noble blacklists Osmosis. Everybody that has stables on Osmosis, or a lot of people that are scared that have stables on Osmosis, like scared that the blacklist won't be removed, will start selling their stables or moving them off chain. And if that happens, price will go down. Liquidity will go down, which makes price more volatile. And as price goes down, Membrane will be able to dump off the stables because they're getting liquidated. So that's just like extra protection in a future that people are expecting to happen. Like people are expecting more blacklistings I mean, they already happened, so you kind of have to be ready for them. But yeah, Cosmos is really the only place where you can actually defend against it. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see more people come over.
Interesting. I wasn't aware, actually. Obviously, we follow Cosmos quite closely at the Cosmos Club, but wasn't aware of this. But this is awesome. Fountain of knowledge here. And for anyone who wants to re-listen to this, as I mentioned, you can go on Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. We upload spaces like these. So go check them out, both this space, of course, but also previous spaces. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. This has been awesome, and not the last time, I'm sure, that we speak. We will make sure, at least here at the club, to follow your progress and tweet out, amplify anything that you guys give us as an update, anything that you tweet out that we should know about as a community.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having me. This was great.
All the best. Godspeed to all the builders out there. So, yeah, take care, and looking forward to speak again, man.
Yeah, see ya, and thanks for everybody that came to listen.
Ciao.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Channel Spaces.